You're listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 40.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Diane Collins. Diane is a modern visionary, an original thinker, an authority in New World thinking, and the creator and author of the Quantum Think System of Thinking. She has an unprecedented body of knowledge based on the principles of quantum science and universal laws applied as practical wisdom in all areas of life. Her highly acclaimed new book, Do You Quantum Think? The New Thinking That Will Rock Your World, is achieving popular viral status.
Well, welcome, Diane. Thank you so much for joining me today on Mindful Marketing. How are you?
I am wonderful, Kimberly, and it's just such a pleasure to be with you.
Fantastic. I can't wait to hear all the information you have, and I'll have to laugh. My listeners will have to know that we've been talking for a while, and now we have to actually do the podcast.
Right. Can we remember what we just said? It was perfect, right?
No,
it'll come out perfectly.
So let's start with your story. I would love to share with the listeners your story on your personal journey and how you came down the path to your life's passion and doing quantum think.
I never know exactly where to start, but I could say that I was always interested in humanity and myself having a leap in consciousness. Or, you know, let me say it like this. You know, I looked around in the world and I thought, you know, what do we really want? This is really the fundamental question, right? That everyone asks themselves, what do I really want? And how do I get it? And I don't mean that like in a, you know, mercenary or materialistic, although it's a very important aspect of life, money. And we know we live in a multidimensional world, a beautiful world. So it's all part of it. But what I don't mean it like in, okay, give me, give me, give me. I don't mean it like that. But I thought we all have desire and we have vision for ourselves, for the world, for what we contribute to the world. And so I wanted to know what was the dynamic of creation that was going to enable me or any of us to become not just effective, but actually masterful in creating what we want in life. And of course, along the way, you run into the as you think, so you become. Kind of you create your reality with your habits of thinking, your habits of mind. And then I had the question, well, when I look in the world and I see that all of us have access to wisdom from every direction, ancient wisdom, scriptural wisdom, master's wisdom, and all this science of mind wisdom, the how-to, the self-help, you know, because we're all here engaging in that and imbibing it and using all the value of it. And I thought, with all the wisdom available at the touch of a smartphone or a tablet today, how is it there's such a disconnect? How is it that we're still not living it? When you look on the, you know, the news, or you go on the internet and you see what's going on in the world. So I saw this disconnect. And my quest, my mission became, well, if all you had to do was change your thought, change your thinking to change the world, why does it still look the way it does? And I made a discovery along the way. I started studying everything, you know, from physics to metaphysics and everything in between. Anything that I thought would be a more enlightened way of looking at the world, more cutting edge, anything that could give us access to it. And what I discovered is that everything in the universe functions as a system. And that's, you know, everything. The planets are a system, the, you know, the whole oceanic atmosphere is a system. And even mundanely, our roads are a system. The supermarket is a system. Marketing, right, is can become a system. So I thought, well, thinking is a system. So if thought creates reality, if thinking creates your results, so even if you're not a mind, body, spirit person, per se, everyone knows, executives know, and you and I know because I worked in corporate, I won't say America because it was more international, but, you know, in a major Fortune 50 corporation for 7 years. So people, leaders come together and say, well, let's think about this in a new way. Well, let's think about this a second. So we know that our habits and patterns of thinking give rise to our experience and therefore to our results. And Kimberly, what I would call my revelation is that our thinking is not as independent and freely chosen as we would like to believe. We have the opportunity in every moment to change our thinking, but to the extent that it's conditioned and automatic in any way, mechanical in any way, to that extent, we may not be a choice. So what I realized is that this thinking, we're in a quantum age, but our thinking is still very much condition as a humanity. Not, and you know, this affects each of us individually, but it's not personal. There's no blame like, oh my God, why did I have that negative thought? No, it's that we've been brought up under a background set of assumptions that is basically oriented around the physical, the five sensory reality, because the scientists of the 17th century declared only matter is real. The universe is a giant machine. Cause and effect is the dynamic. Push on that and that moves. It's a world of solid and fixed objects, solid and fixed realities. Now, we know because we're involved in the mind, body, spirit genre, community, growing community, what I like to call lovingly the consciousness crowd, people who know that we have much more knowledge today, more accurate knowledge that has always been around, but that quantum science has been proving and verifying since Einstein and the scientists who have followed him up until now in the beginning of the 21st century, that we know, wait a minute, it's not like a machine-based world. It's more like a mind-based. But because we were oriented in our educational systems, in our corporate structures, in the whole way. And I'm going to bring this around to marketing because I'm talking long, but I just want to give this preface because it's very important as a context for the rest of our dialogue, that if we know now that we have an effect, it's called in science the observer effect, we have an effect through these invisible fields of energy formed by intelligence, conscious fields, and that the faculties of mind, intent, intuition, subtle energy, resonance, meditation, what I call the five natural faculties, have a very important effect on getting back to the original fundamental, how do I create what I want in life? Okay, so it behooves us now. The good news is, oh, wait a minute, we can literally make this quantum leap. And so I thought, well, I knew that I was always showing people, quote, a new worldview, a new way of looking and relating to something that would have them have a leap or some kind of a transformation in their perspective that would shift the results of their life. And it was finally, I thought, well, what am I doing? You know, I know I'm having an effect, but what am I doing? And that was how Quantum Think came about, because Quantum Think is a system of 21 principles that I call distinctions in thinking, principles and practices for the mind and awareness that are based in the discoveries of science. It's not about science. It's how the discoveries of science merging with universal wisdom of all traditions, common to all traditions, merge as a basis. And then, you know, my, let's say, add to it is having it be practical in modern everyday world culture. So that, wait a minute, you want to know how to use the faculties of mind and get a conscious relationship with your patterns and habits of thinking so that you are operating from the perspective, the frame that is going to give you the results you want. Here, you can quantum think. So that's my book. I've been delivering it for many years, more than 15 years, with my husband and partner in everything in life, Alan Collins, who's the master quantum think coach. So the book just came out a few years ago, and people consider it a classic. So, you know, I go on radio a lot to offer it to people. But the idea is that we can proactively train ourselves, condition our thinking to be more in sync with the nature of what life is about today. But I would say the important part of everything I just said, in terms of everyone in this conversation listening with us right now, is that we each have our own, you know, I say the paradox of being human. We're universally the same. We all want the same things, great relationships, prosperity, good health, you know, fulfillment, total self-expression, all of the above, spiritual connection, but we're uniquely distinct. And what enabled me to really do the work that I'm doing today is to continuously distinguish and refine those talents, gifts, insights, interests, proclivities that cumulatively have me have the unique perspective I have that enables me to have created Quantum Think. And that's what I think is up for everyone right now, and including the way we approach our marketing.
Quantum Think our marketing, that would be great.
Yeah, exactly.
So with your marketing plan, because you have done a phenomenal job and you're all over the place on radio and stuff, what has been your best marketing strategy for you to reach your ideal client?
Well, I'm working on that now. You know, one thing though, Kimberly, and I'm sure you know this as an expert and, you know, with all so much business and such a wide expanse of experience and insight yourself, is that it's constantly evolving. So I think, you know, for me, it's always looking at, since I was looking at, well, you know, what do people really want? And then you look and see that in a universe of whole systems interpenetrating, interconnecting with each other, we're not separate. So you're always in the context of the greater environment. Now, all of us know we're in this amazing technological, exponentially continuous 1.0, 2.0, 3.0. It's always shifting and changing. And so I would say it like this to make it succinct. One thing is, in terms of marketing, to really look and see who you are and what you provide in the context, in relationship with what people really want, so that you can identify your market. And then thirdly, to look at the context, the environment we're operating in. So, people always have said in marketing, find a need and fill it. Or today, there's a form. So, to answer your question more directly, this is how I work, is to constantly look at. Now, I like things that are simple and streamlined. So I'm always, I created an intent, because from a quantum thinking, how does that work? How do we, what is the dynamic? If it's not a cause and effect, what is it? Well, it's the dynamic of intent. So I created a strategic intent with my husband for our business when we started it many years ago. And that, when you create an intent as a context from which your business is generated, what it does is it takes this world of infinite possibility and it narrows it down so that you are operating and attracting to you what's in sync with those first two things I said. First of all, who are you? How do you want to be known in the world? What is it that you're passionate about? And all of that. Secondly, what do you see from your perspective that people could really want and need, and then provide it? And so I created a strategic intent, and this is how it goes. Creating networked transformation for millions worldwide. Now, when I created that intent, it was before I was aware of the internet, okay? Because we know the internet was maybe invented, I guess, in 1971, or you probably know better than I. But what didn't really come into like really big, household popularity until about the mid-90s. Is that how it is?
Yeah,
that's in your knowledge?
Yes.
And so it was like early 90s that we created this intent. And we knew that we both were attracted to technology, but we had no idea, of course, a lot of the technologies weren't even invented until then, and we weren't that familiar. But it was that sort of that yearning inside. In fact, that's how we parted ways with our partner, because we knew that we wanted to replicate our work so that it could stay, like the idea of mass individuation, I think it's called, which Amazon has, become the expert, where you're talking to what people individually want, but you're doing it on a mass scale. How do we replicate ourselves when we're coaches, consultants, healers? I mean, this is what I find in our clients and the people I talk to, that this is really one of the big dilemmas, is how do I earn, generate revenue that goes beyond the number of hours that I'm able to put in on an hourly labor basis. Do you find that too?
Yeah.
That people earn that.
Passive income is key. And I always guide my clients to creating their products and podcasts and everything else around their passive income, for sure.
Exactly. So what I was saying is we broke up with, you know, the person is we love and still a good friend. But we parted ways because his vision, and this is very important, even when you come together with other groups or partners, to really get clear, you know, we all know about the exercise of vision, values, and all that, but to really get clear on what we're resonating with and is this, you know, if you are co-venturing with other people, you know, are we in resonant field together so that it works? So as much as you like someone, that's not enough for having the business aspect of it work. So he wanted to replicate the business by hiring a lot of consultants and training consultants, which, by the way, he did, and quite successfully. Alan and I, my husband and I, wanted to use technology, just what you just said. And again, we weren't aware of it. But when you're tuning in to yourself, and this is part of quantum thinking, I call it living in the unknowable. Let's say you have an intent to have, you know, for something. But you don't quite see how you're going to accomplish it. And this is where the statement of intent as the active dynamic that we've been endowed with by virtue of our human birth, that we get to use one of these very important and central creative principles, our own intent used consciously with the awareness that that's what we're doing. So I applied that to the business, strategic intent. Now, that was a double entendre full of, you know, multiple, multidimensional meanings because it was creating transformation. It wasn't, I'm going to create transformation. It was sort of like just saying the word that way. Well, how would that transformation show up? I didn't really know at the time because I created that statement before I created and trademarked Quantum Think as a system of thinking, which I did in 1997. So it was like, but I knew enough about these universal laws and operating principles that something would come about as a result of that. So it was creating transformation for millions. That meant to me millions of dollars and millions of people. And then worldwide. So that's in the background. Then I created a number of other intents, which I do review and reassess from time to time. You could create one for marketing, you know, create one for operations, because I like streamlined ease of operation. So when I look at the marketing, I think mine is something like, you know, I'm a master of marketing. So when you're quantum thinking, it's not like I'm a master of marketing. It's not that that's a statement that's either true or false. Because from a quantum perspective, a quantum worldview means everything is shifting and changing all the time. Energy in flux, that means moving and shifting, informed by intelligence, that it's an intelligent universe. And we, as people, as human observers, are what we hold in our awareness, in our consciousness, is literally shaping our experience. So again, well, if there is no fixed reality, how do we get reality? Reality is context dependent. So we become masterful at creating context. So it's no more the truth that I'm a terrible marketer. I think this is, by the way, because I've been listening to your podcast, Kimberly, and I, you know, hearing about people who, you know, we get these, what I call the old world view conditioning, that we have the, you know, I'm an artist or I'm a healer. I'm not good at the business side. And these are these automatic thoughts that I call them least action pathways, the least creative, the least conscious action of your thought that most of these thoughts, you're not at choice. How do you know? Because if you were at conscious choice with your thinking, you would not be choosing, I'm not good at something, you know, especially, right?
Exactly.
I'm not good at making money. I mean, who's going to say that? So even if you have, so what I, you know, and this is really the basis of quantum thinking, is being able to distinguish those thoughts which come from that old mechanical way of being, which we're now at a point in human development where we're taking the leap beyond that and out and expanding beyond it, including it and expanding beyond it. And being able to see that just because I have a thought, it doesn't make it the truth. I don't have to certainly believe it. And it's not fixed in any way, even if you have, you know, 5 years of evidence to say, but no, but my boyfriend really doesn't listen. And here's 5 years of experience, you know, like, so what we focus on expands, right? We're aware of this in mindfulness. And so we can distinguish those thoughts, what we call it very easily, distinguish between a thought that you are initiating consciously, like a context that you're choosing for living from or your business is living from, distinguish that from a thought that just visits from the surrounding, what I like to call the thoughtosphere, the mind field. We're picking up thoughts all the time. They're not even our own. You don't have to own them. So you just say, oh, that's a least action pathway thought that I am not good in business. No, that's not the truth. Oh, I'm great in business. No, that's not the truth either. But which one are you going to choose to live from? Because from a quantum worldview, reality is context dependent. So let's say, you know, I just thought of it because you're a coach, right? How do you describe your coaching? What kind of coaching you do?
Marketing and business coaching.
Okay. Marketing and business coaching. So let's say that the people who would engage a coach, right?
Okay.
Get into relationship with coach. These are people who are up to something, up to being masterful. It's not, you know, we all are successful in our own way. We have intelligence. We have expertise. We have, you know, insight. We have intuition. So when you hire a coach, and we like to use the idea of an Olympic athlete. An Olympic athlete goes to the Olympics, not because they're going to go there to become an Olympic athlete. They're going there from the context of, I am an Olympic athlete, even though they've never been there before, right? In the Olympics. And the idea is, you're coming from that context. So if I come to you, Kimberly, and say, you know what? I want you to be my business and marketing coach. And you and I were talking about it because I'm looking at you for that, right?
Yes, yes.
That, you know, it doesn't matter. It's like the most successful people hire a coach.
So true.
Because coaching is about mastery. So to get to quantum thinking this, I'm talking around a lot of subjects. I just want to go back to the thing about the thought, because do you want to live from the statement of intent, the context that you are creating, which I did for my own marketing, I'm masterful at marketing. Or do I want to live from the context, which I did, by the way, for a long time, is that, oh, marketing? Oh, yeah, we're supposed to do that. You know, it was like, you know, we don't do marketing. We consult people in quantum thinking. You know, well, that's really a huge lack of it's an asleep, it's an unawakened comment, because everything is marketing. You know, when you think about what is marketing. Anyway, the point, couple of points that I'm making here to review it is that, one, is you can create any context and live from it, not as a, quote, absolute truth, but a context, an intent that will shape everything. What you say, how you listen, what you research and investigate, the actions you take for your business, and the whole way you relate to your business, and very importantly, how others relate to you. Because we are shaping by how we create this type of conscious creation. We're talking about mindful marketing. One of the important questions, how do you want to be known in the world? How do you want others to relate to you? And this is how we work with our clients. I often do this. I call it the four pillars exercise. Mm-hmm. So the four pillars of life are self and others, relationships. Okay, I'm a student of astrology, so I tend to see things in terms of these different areas of life and how they're related. So the four pillars, self, and across from that on this circle, this wheel of life, is others, relationships. That makes sense, right? And then we have home and career. So those are the other two pillars. And if you look, think of a circle and you draw a vertical line and a, you know, horizontal line like an equator across it, that's how it is. It's like self, go around the circle, home, relationships, and at the top, career. And how we work with our clients is to set off, in other words, set in motion a new resonance, you know, like let's say another octave of development for you and your business. Because remember, you're not separate from your business and your home. And this is the old world view, was a view of, it taught us separation. Because when you look in this physical, things look separate. And we have all these divides. It's not like we're thinking this actively. It's like the vortex of the culture has taken us with it, where you think professional and personal, spiritual and material, management and labor, you know, the 1% and the 99%, or however you think of it, Wall Street and Main Street. But the fact is that when you're quantum thinking, you think from wholes and you see everything as interrelated. And you see your life as interrelated. There are distinctions, yes, but no actually separations. And by the way, this helps because people are always trying to balance the parts of your life, which you can never do. But when you start to look from an integrated whole, everything, people calm down, they get a new relationship with time. So you create a statement of intent for each of these four pillars. How do you want to identify? How do you want to relate to yourself? How do you want to think of yourself? And you know, you can make, it's good to keep it short, one or two statements, you know, about how you relate to yourself. Because this is conscious creation. This is mindfulness. How do you want to relate to your home and family? How do you want to be in that relational field together? How are we experiencing our life together as a family? And then you look at relationships. That has to do with any relationships, partnerships. You know, that I'm excited, I'm ecstatic that my relationships are, you know, relationships where we experience respect for one another. We value each other. We love working together. You know, you could make up anything because it's all a creation. But it does have a vibrational effect and it does shape your experience of your moment by moment reality and what you will attract in your business. And then again, and then the other one, the career, your business. How do you want people from a marketing perspective? You create how people relate to you. So is this making sense?
Absolutely. And I love how you bring it back to us, because I think what happens in a lot of mind, body, spirit, with a lot of the entrepreneurs in this genre, is that we are so focused on the gifts and what they're using to heal and share and everything. We forget that, like, we are the business. So what is the intent for our relationship with us and our clients? So I really like the four pillars for that.
Yeah. And it really, really, we are the businesses, right? You know, the business, no matter how big your company becomes, it's still, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously it creates another entity, and then the entity has a life of its own. But you're still, let's say, any of these, you know, big, you know, major CEOs like Bill Gates or something. He could step down as CEO, but his synergetic is still at the source of that business of Microsoft.
So true.
And so it's still vibrating through. But, you know, to make it, bring it down to, you know, an entrepreneurial level, not down, but, you know, bring it in, right? To the entrepreneurial level, where I think a very, very important aspect of marketing is to start to realize that you can create yourself as a masterful marketer just from that, and then see where that takes you in your own thinking, in the own way you relate to yourself.
That's such great advice. I do have a question for you, though. So since you're on the brink of the technology coming around when you were starting your company, what is today, what is your best use of technology today? What's the one piece of either software, or what is the one thing that you see has had such a great impact on your business?
Well, you know, I like to look, the first thing that we did is, you know, when you're talking about using technology, and I heard someone talking about it, one of your other guests, where, you know, people have formulas like, you know, don't use more than three social media or whatever. You know, maybe for some people it's one. This is where, when you're quantum thinking, you're looking at what is best and right for you in terms of your market. But for me, it's always important to, you know, because I've been doing this, so it's kind of a both and world where I'm looking in the circumstances of, well, who has attracted, you know, toward us? Who's been resonating? And I was able to identify and distinguish six different markets. Now, remember, from a quantum worldview, there are no absolutes other than what you may think of as God, divine, source, creator. But I'm talking about for everyday human, you know, beings in everyday life. So, because it's not a fixed reality. It's like, I say it very simply in quantum think, the core principle, observer created reality. What you bring to your observation is what you get. What you bring is what you get. Very simple. And that you can bring to your observation whatever you decide, because you have the choice over that. Now, I looked at these six markets for quantum think. And I'm looking at it again. You know, again, it's a constant evolutionary, you know, reassessment. And I look at where are these people going? So I'll give you a couple of my markets to make it real. So one market we have is a business market, corporate, you know, senior executives and entrepreneurs. One market we have is the affluent market. I call it the luxury market. You know, these are the people who are, you know, hugely financially successful, and they're looking at, you know, well, what now, right? So, but everyone is ready for quantum thinking because we're in this great transitional time. So we need to be able to restructure our thinking so that we can be in sync with this kind of spaceless, timeless world because of our technology. Business, which is corporate and entrepreneur, luxury market. The third market that I distinguished is the consciousness market, that would be us, right? But there's overlap. Obviously, these things are not, again, there's distinction, but no actual separation. But you can look at, right? You can, to try to look at it in a more refined way. To the consciousness market. The next market is the self-help market. The consciousness market being people who are interested in science and spirituality, wanting to elevate their consciousness, wanting to live a more awakened life, you know, that kind of thing, and expand the whole way we relate in the world. So, and then I have the self-help market, which is again an overlap, but slightly different because self-help are people who are specifically personal development, you know, how do I develop myself, my business? And the next one is youth because these are based on, I look in the world and say, who attracts to me? That's how I distinguished these. So, and it's also like who I attract to. So it is a resonance. It's like, who do we attract toward and who attracts toward us? And then, so it's youth. So for me, that's, you know, anyone from 18, you know, into college age, they love quantum thinking. And then the sixth market, which was added later on, is media, because I love media. And then I realized, you know, I have a whole relationship with media. So meaning broadcast media, radio, TV, you know, that kind of thing. So now when you think about, well, what technologies am I going to use? It requires then looking at, well, who is the market? How do they use technology? Because let's say if you, and I love all the social media, okay? I love the social media. I love a lot of the other things. People are, you know, being trained to do telesummits, which I've been on a number of telesummits myself, but I wouldn't want to do it. I've been invited any number of times to have my own radio show. This is where it becomes very important to know yourself because I say, well, yeah, okay, I could have a great radio show, but I don't want to be a radio show host. I'd like to have my own TV show. So these are things that are very important to keep distinguishing in your awareness. So you say, okay, Facebook. Now, am I going to find the luxury market people who I do have as clients, you know, some celebrities, sort of that market? Are they going on Facebook to find someone like what I offer? Probably not. However, other people are. The consciousness market is, the self-help market is. I'm not saying that, you know, everybody doesn't use Facebook in some way, but let's say a Facebook for my business page on Facebook. In this case, right now, mine is for my book. But I know people want to go on there because they want to interact about what's in my book, and someone, you know, different groups have started up around, they write to me sometimes, study groups studying it. So am I going to track my luxury market there? No. So I think, Kimberly, that you have to really look at your market. And then when you look at the technology, say, well, where are they going? I'll give you one other example, LinkedIn. Now, Alan, my husband partner, there's something resonant with him on LinkedIn. I mean, this guy gets more requests to connect on LinkedIn. He does. It's like every day, you know. There's something going on there. It's also to watch what's showing up, what's attracting your way, and what's working. Rather than trying to fit into a formulaic thing that you heard in a marketing teleseminar. Now, yeah, one of the things about it is that I find value in everyone's teachings and work. And I myself, over the past 10 years, in terms of technology, is to the extent that I can put it into my schedule, I listen to a lot of free teleseminars on technology. I listen to them about YouTube because I like video. Video telesummits, how to use your, iPad to make a video, how to do this, how to do that, how to do a telesummit. I listen to all of it as much as I can in time-wise. I don't have enough time to listen to everything I love. And then I take from it, Kimberly, what I resonate with, rather than take it as a strict formula. And I have a sense, just from the short time I know you, that you think this way too.
Absolutely.
It's like every person is unique. And every person, what works for one may not work for another one.
And if it doesn't resonate with us, then there's also the point where we just don't want to do it. So then we just stop doing all of it because we're like, oh, I don't want to do that part.
Exactly. So then really don't do that. And it won't work anyway because you won't be in the right, you won't be emanating the energy that is required to attract that. Now, this has happened to, so when you say, to answer that, the technology question is, again, looking at your markets, seeing what you love to do. I mean, I've also had myself even recently, like in-person training on, sometimes I go to network things from my university and meet social media experts, and I have them come in person, okay. Teach me about Twitter so that I have an understanding of what's possible on Twitter. How can I use it? What's the best way to use it? Because when you talk to the experts, they already know this. So I had a person like this recently, and I said, well, what about LinkedIn? Well, you know what? She said to me, I don't know LinkedIn that well. So she taught me a few little things. So this is another thing, is you have to know your experts, right? It's like, who's good at what?
Yep. You can't be good at it all.
Right. And that we can't expect it. It's way too complex of a society and a marketplace and all of it. And so it's great. So you say, oh, great. She can teach me about Twitter. Right now I'm working with a certain branding person, and his thing is Facebook. So I know that when we get to looking at, what he calls, the consistency across all platforms, meaning website, and I think you do this too,
yeah.
Website and all the social media platforms, that he knows the best, he's learning about me and my business, and he'll know the best way for me to use Facebook. So what I do, and maybe it's silly, but I don't engage fully in it until I have an understanding of how I'm going to use it. So I like to be strategic about it. And I'm saying maybe that's silly. It may be a little over cautionary. I am on all these. I do have a YouTube channel. I do have a Facebook page, which is for my book, as well as my personal Facebook. I do have two Twitter accounts, at Diane Collins and at QuantumThink. And I do post, and I became a blogger for the Huffington Post. So I want to get more consistently into my blogging, because when you look from the whole and you realize, okay, how do you have your blog fit with all these other things? And can it be, how do we use it strategically, not to manipulate people, potential clients, customers, but to engage them from the point of view of their interest?
It's beautifully said, because sometimes we're putting out content, but I like that it's a strategic engagement. And I haven't heard it phrased that way, and I really like that.
Really, because otherwise it's literally on deaf ears. And, you know, I mean, I'll give you an example. I found out, and, you know, Alan was very, he was sort of strongly encouraging me. He likes my writing and, you know, and I do, I like to write. But he was saying, okay, you have to be a blogger on the Huffington Post. I said, okay. So fortunate, and this is again, you know, there is a certain, there's a synchronicity to things. There's a certain destiny to things. There's free will and destiny. But so the destiny part is, you know, you came in to this lifetime, you know, you have your soul has certain, as I said earlier, talents, gifts, inclinations, passions, visions, yearnings, you know. And you will be able to see patterns. In my book, Do You Quantum Think?, there's a chapter called The Hola Movement of Purpose, where you're actually distinguishing this, your worldly purpose, by looking at the patterns in your life. So let's say for you, when you were on Wall Street, maybe, you know, you didn't see at that time how that would be utilized, but you had that experience. It's not separate. It wasn't like, well, I did that, but that wasn't it. Now I'm doing this. When you're quantum thinking, you're looking from the whole of your life as one big story, like a well-written novel or screenplay, interrelated and interconnected. And that you'll see the patterns and literally connect the dots. And you say, oh, thank you, universe. I think you said that to me before we got on the show.
Yeah.
That, you know, now I see why I was in that business realm and I saw the ups and downs of it and how to come out of it. Because now that gives you, Kimberly, the experience, the authenticity, because otherwise it's just conceptual. You have the authentic experience that you can now contribute to your clients because of that. And it enables you, of course, to put together a new business for yourself. So this is how when we start to think this way. So I'm told, okay, be a blogger on the Huff. What I was going to say about it is what comes easily and what doesn't. Certain things I've tried to do. You know, I do want to tell you that little anecdotal story, but let's just say on the Huffington Post, I was like, okay, I was sort of resisting because it looked like, you know, more work that I don't have time to do. And how do I get on there? Anyway, it came about like in 5 minutes.
Wow.
Because we realized that we actually knew someone who could easily get me to, and she knew my work. So Alan wrote to her and said, Diane wants to blog on the Huffington Post. She went, oh, sure, here's, got connected me, and it was in 2 seconds. So you could say, well, that was surely meant to be, right?
Yeah.
And then, but I want to get back to the strategy, but I have to say the flip side of that is we had some people come to us, and they wanted us to do a certain, you know, like a webinar for their very large online audience. Now, this importance of knowing your market. And they had a magazine, and I got a graphic artist, and we made a beautiful ad, and we had, anyway, it was like, if you looked at the circumstances of it, it looked like everything was perfect, right? It's like we had these people's support. They were running it. I had a beautiful ad. We know what we're doing in our work. And guess what? We got zero response. Now, right? Now, by the way, I don't really, that's not my thing right now, being a workshop leader. But so that could have had something to do with it, right? What we were holding. But I'm offering that to send, because Alan and I have enough insight to look at each other and say, we did everything we could to have that work, and it didn't work. obviously, I always say to him, it's bigger than both of us, Ollie, from that old classic, you know, all, I'm not that old, but, you know, it's bigger than both of us, Ollie. You know, like the bigger picture, you know, the infinite intelligence we're co-creating with. So it was like, well, call it spirit. Spirit didn't want us doing that because that was not the direction. And this is where, you know, you have to be able to be in that mindful state where you can listen deeply enough so that you can hear or you can feel that silent tap on the shoulder and say, wait a minute, Diane, that's not the way. You've got to make a right turn here and go this way. So that's another way in terms of which any decision, what technology should I use? Who are my markets? How do I want to be related to in the world? How do I want to relate to myself? Is to be able to be mindful in that silent place within so that you're connecting to the greater intelligence that is a guiding light for each one of us and be able to see what that is for you and be able to make those adjustments along the way. So again, to wrap that up, is that I think in terms of technologies, you know, I've seen, just as one other example, not my own, where I've been on these different telesummits where some people are hugely successful with that. Other people try it because they think that's their way of marketing, but didn't work at all for them because it's not their thing. So I think way, way important is really to discover what, you know, it's really easy. What do you love to do? And I, you know, I always say to my clients, okay, when you're the happiest in life, right, in the moments, what are you actually doing? Not like a generalization. It's like in your daily routine of your business, what gets you the most excited? What are you doing when you're feeling like that exhilaration, that kind of high of just being, doing what you're doing? Because that's a clue. And I'll give you another clue that is a very important clue to discovering living your purpose, living your unique purpose. And that is this. Ask the question, what do people, it's bad grammar, but I use it this way. What do people come to you for? Because without realizing it, people sense, we sense in each other. Remember, we're interconnected through these energy, intelligent, relational fields. People sense, we're all intuitive about another person. That if I come to you, Kimberly, I kind of know, you know, I have a sense of what, why I'm coming to you, even if they don't, you know, they're not in conscious awareness of it themselves. And so when I say, what do people come to you for? A lot of people who are coaches, consultants, healers, therapists, entrepreneurs, and they'll say, oh, they come to me for advice, or they come to me for counseling. Okay, so that's like buzz. That's the wrong answer. It's not the wrong answer. But it's like that answer is not refined enough. Okay, we all have something to give. So somebody is always going to, but then you go into a deeper refinement of it. You say, well, how do you give the advice? Or what is it in your experience that makes your counsel or your advice unique? Now, I think this is really important for life coaches. In fact, we're that is a program that I do want to, I say I didn't want to lead workshops, but there is one that we are going to do, and Alan will be the main lead, that it's going to be for coaches. And for this one of the purpose of it is to discover what is distinctive about you as a life coach that's different than someone else. Because the more refined you can get that, and this is that question, what do people come to you for? There's a series of questions in that whole movement chapter, whole movement of purpose. What are the things that, you know, when you find yourself in conversations, what kind of conversations do you always find yourself in? These are the clues to what makes you unique. So instead of just, well, you know, I'm a great coach or people come to me for advice, it's what is it about your perspective that they're coming for? Now, we did Quantum Think 21, which was a program we did for many years, which was a teleconference program. And we did it, you know, for the public and in companies. And we did it in the United States government, certain agencies, where people were working on a, quote, intended quantum result, a measurable result, while they were learning to quantum think and, you know, as a result of quantum thinking. So we would ask these questions. And what people would start to discover about themselves, and it's good, you can do this with someone who knows you, this type of a conversation, is that, oh, well, these are some of the things our clients have said to us. I can see like all the scattered pieces that looks like chaos and be able to put them together in a whole so that someone else, that helps them feel settled so that they can move forward in action. That might be, you know, like, well, how do you coach? How do you do it? Or I'll use Alan, my husband, for an example, because he and I consult the same clients, but we have a completely different approach, even though we're coaching the same client separately, our private clients, and I work with them. We're unique individuals like all of you are. And so he's the laser. He's the day-to-day, you know, I'm the big picture, you know, what's the next octave of your career and life development? You know, I see that way. I actually have a psychic ability about it that I've never marketed, but I have it. But I can see certain things for people. So I see the big picture and how it all fits together. He sees the day-to-day, like, oh, what are you going to do, you know, next 2 hours from now? But his coaching is he has a certain ability in his listening where he's able to hear what the client is not saying in such a way, they call him, you know, that laser coaching, that he's able to laser in exactly on what they need to reflect and see in themselves that moves them forward. Okay, so that's like, what are you doing tomorrow? But he's able to hone in on it. I'm able to see the big picture, put it all together, and see how it all fits in these multiple pathways. So for yourself.
Yeah, it's all the unique stuff. And it's so key with all of us. And it's funny you say, people, what do people come to you for? And I think people have always come for me. And how do I start my business? Or how do I fix my business? Or how do you do that? And that was exactly how I ended up here with my love for the mind, body, spirit community. It's so great.
Exactly. Thanks. But when you do it, how do you, well, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Because you realize the importance of that and you're able to combine that with your business acumen, your business knowledge and experience. But there's something about, can I just say this? You don't mind if I say this to you, right? There's something,
sure.
Yeah, because there's something I'm tuning into with you that there's something about your energy, your energetic and how you relate. I can't explain that part exactly rationally, but there's something about your energy that you can see the starting point. I don't know if that's true. I'm just asking you.
It's funny. It is true. I can always, and it's always interesting when people tell me what their situation is or where their business is, I can see it and I can see how it's going to be fixed. So that's funny you say that, because I'll say that all the time. I'm like, well, this is how I see it. And I'm not even looking at them because I can visually see it in front of me and where it's going to go. So,
I
guess
that. See, that's what I was talking about, the way that I see. If I see something like that, even though we're on your show here, but I had to tell you that.
Well, I appreciate it. That was fantastic. And, you know, I could talk to you all day long, but unfortunately we are out of time. And you've given us so much information. I want to thank you so much for being here. And I just want to know, my listeners want to know more about your Quantum Think. Where are they going to go find you?
You can find me on my website, DianeCollins.com, and it's Diane is spelled with two N's, very important because there's another Diane who's a photographer, but DianeCollins, and you will see everything about my book. My book is available in stores online everywhere, in hardcover and in all ebook editions. Do You Quantum Think, New Thinking That Will Rock Your World is the name of it. And on my website, there are free audios you can listen to. There are a few videos and, you know, learn all about it. But there's also something that when people do, if you want to stay in touch, you know, obviously you'll see my Facebook and LinkedIn and things. But if you want to stay in touch, want me to stay in touch with you, you can sign up for my email list. I don't do a lot of mailings, but when I do, I try to, you know, I send something of interest content. And the reason I'm saying that is because when you sign up, you'll get a link to an article that entrepreneurs love. And it's called You Can't Get There From Here. And it's a Why Change Doesn't Work. So it was what I was talking about at the beginning of this, where I was talking about creating a context. And it's said very, very simply in everyday language. It says, okay, old worldview, here's a sentence, new worldview. And look at it specifically, Quantum Think applied to your business. So I want to invite everyone to sign up and pick that up. And if you don't want to be on the list, you can unsubscribe after that, but hopefully not. But at least you'll get that article.
Fantastic. I think I'm going to go sign up. That sounds great. Well, thank you again so much for joining us and giving us such valuable information.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. And it's just been a real joy to be able to share the work and through you and with everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.